Those of us who read the newspaper as a daily habit have, I think, our preferred sections. If you ask mine, after reading the headlines, I immediately proceed to the sports section, and that probably tells something of my personality and fondness for sports. There are others whose vocation leads them to go to the business section and probably scour on the foreign exchange. And there are those I know who indulge on the showbiz section with its entertainment news and the like. And I hope that as a Christian, you don't make it your interest to look at what the horoscope is saying. But perhaps the most unnatural of all newspaper habits, I know people who go to the obituary daily. The word obituary comes from the Latin obitus, which means death. And an obituary is a notice of a person's death. And unless there is someone you know, we do not normally go to the obituary and indulge on news about death. We don't want the topic. Now, not all of us will have our obituary. But unless Christ comes in our lifetime, we will all have our obitus. We will all die. And it is not the notice about someone's death that gives any value to his dying. I know those who will have a full-page ad about someone's death as though it gives glory to the death of the person. But it is not the notice about someone's death that gives any value to his dying. It is rather what comes after. Ang tunay na karangalan sa kamatayan ng mananampalataya ay hindi yung mga patalastas patungkol sa kanyang kamatayan, kundi ang mangyayari pagkatapos nito. And so we are in a series of expositions of that major portion of the Bible known as the resurrection chapter. And I keep reminding you that the reason why the resurrection was denied by some people in the church in Corinth was most probably the influence of Greek philosophy, which held that the body in and of itself was evil. And therefore, when one died, he got rid of his body, and that's good riddance. And they didn't think that the body is needed to be resurrected again. And Apostle Paul did not take this as something which was an issue that was not essential. Apostle Paul instead addressed this issue as a matter of the gospel. Ang nakasalalay dito ay ebanghelyo, sapagkat kabilang o kasama sa ebanghelyo ay ang pagkabuhay na muli ng Panginoong Jesus mula sa mga patay. That is the unquestioned issue as far as the gospel is concerned, that Christ died and He rose again from the dead. And unless that is true, Apostle Paul tells us that we are of all men most miserable. So that must be true. That must be part of the gospel. But if Christ really rose from the dead, in union with Christ, all those in Christ are certain to be raised from the dead. In other words, to deny the resurrection of the saints on the last day is to deny the power of the resurrection of Christ. And that is the reason why, to Paul, this was a gospel issue. But besides being a gospel issue, this had a bearing on the day-to-day life of the believer. And this is expressed by Paul in those words, "I die daily." Now, it is not saying that Paul had a daily death wish. It is simply saying that a Christian who understands the resurrection will have readiness to die in whatever circumstances. Whenever death visits him, there will be a readiness, and that is why a person who knows and understands the resurrection and is ready to die is living a life that is ready to meet his Lord. Kaya meron itong timbang sa pang-araw-araw na buhay ng mananampalataya. Hindi ito isyung pang-doktrina lamang, pang-konsepto ng isip, kundi merong timbang ito sa ating pagharap sa mga usaping pang-araw-araw. But then Apostle Paul addressed the issue of why in the first place those Christians in Corinth were vulnerable to this false teaching that denied the resurrection. And he underscored that by exposing bad company on the one hand and the fact that they did not use their mind. But beginning with our text this afternoon, Paul now begins to explain the nature of the resurrection body of the saints. So we are coming to the substantial part of Apostle Paul's teaching concerning the resurrection of the saints. And I would invite you now to turn to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 42 to 44. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's read the three verses from verse 42 to verse 44. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So here now are the begin. Here is the beginning of Paul explaining to us the nature of the resurrection body when the resurrection finally takes place at the second coming of Jesus Christ. What kind of body will we possess when we are raised from the dead? Paul uses here key words to explain the nature or the quality of the resurrected body when it happens. Now, the words he used in verses 42 and 43, he would repeat from verse 51 and following, so we will encounter them again. I will skip them for now, but we will address those same characteristics that Apostle Paul mentions in verses 42 and 43. Instead, I want to focus on verse 44, where the word repeated concerning the resurrection body is that it is spiritual. It is a spiritual body. Now, the word spiritual is one of the most misused and misunderstood of biblical terms. Itong malawak ang maling pagkakagamit, maling pagkaunawa sa salitang espiritual. It is often understood as non-physical. But if spiritual here is non-physical, it will be a self-contradiction. Because he has just said it will be a spiritual body. And if we are to understand spiritual to mean non-physical, Apostle Paul is into a self-contradiction, a non-physical body, a non-body body. And that cannot be. And that is not what Apostle Paul means by spiritual. And in the first place, that is not the predominant use of spiritual in the New Testament. The predominant sense, not exclusive, but the predominant sense of the word spiritual is that it is of the Holy Spirit. And that is my message this afternoon. The resurrection body is of the Holy Spirit and not of the fallen nature. Ang bubuhay, ang muling bubuhaying katawan ay mula sa banal na espiritu at hindi makasalanan. So this is the intended contrast between natural and spiritual. It is as stark as the previous contrasts. If you note the previous contrasts, perishable versus imperishable, dishonor versus glory, weakness versus power. The idea here are all diametrical opposites. The imperishable does not mean a little superior to the perishable. Rather, it's the complete opposite. So with natural and spiritual, it is not that spiritual is a degree better than natural. The idea here is opposites. And that helps us to understand the condition of our present body and what the resurrection body is like. So there are two points I want to make. First, this fallen nature animates our present body. Ang ating makasalanang likas ang nagbibigay ng mga udyok sa ating kasalukuyang katawan. This fallen nature animates our present body. And secondly, the Holy Spirit defines our risen body. Ang banal na espiritu ang nagtatakda ng ating binuhay na katawan. So the first thing then, this contrast of our present body being natural as against the resurrection body as spiritual, it is reminding us that this fallen nature animates our present body. The word used, translated here as natural, has a broad range of meaning in the Greek. It is in fact the word used for soul, but it is also used for earthly, for the physical. But when used in direct contrast to the Holy Spirit, It assumes the sense of the sinful and the fallen. And this flows very well with the previous contrasts: perishing, dishonorable, weak, and now natural in the sense of fallen, sinful. This present body is animated by sin. Ang ating kasalukuyang katawan ay inuudyukan ng kasalanan. Now let me make myself clear, the body itself is not sinful, but in its present condition, sin and the effects of sin pervade our earthly body. Yung mismong katawan hindi makasalanan. Yan nga ang maling katuruan na nilalabanan ni Pablo. Yan ang katuruan na naging dahilan para kanilang tanggihan at ikaila ang pagkabuhay na muli. So Paul is not saying that the body in and of itself is sinful. However, in its present condition, sin and the effects of sin pervade our earthly body. When we talk of total depravity, complete sinfulness, we mean that sin has affected every part of our whole humanity. Every part has the evidence and influence of sin. Now that definitely includes the body. The scriptures clearly include the human body in their indictment of sin. And the very issue of the resurrection is a reminder to us that one effect of sin is death. The very fact that there is death and death is an evil shows the effect of sin on the body. Romans 8 verse 10 tells us the body is dead because of sin. In other words, sin renders the body as good as dead and soon. As we just sang, our earthly mission will someday be complete. But that is a reminder to us that the reason we die is because of sin. The wages of sin is death. But even before death, there are so many evidences of the pervasive presence of sin in the body. The miseries that pertain to the body, sicknesses, sometimes of the most miserable kind. And there is no promise in the scriptures that Christians are spared from sickness of any kind. Any teacher promising that is teaching falsely. We can be afflicted with any of these sicknesses, and they are evidences of the pervasive effect of the misery of sin. And as we age, we increasingly feel the reality of the effects of sin on the body. I think at 50, my mind is better when I was 20. But this 50-year-old body wasn't the 20-year-old body it once was. You feel the erosion. And it's the effects of sin. The eyes don't have the same 20-20 vision of youth. The bones hurt. The brain stumble in memory. But besides the marks of sin evident in the body itself sins. There are sins of the body. Sins ranging from uncontrolled appetite to sinful pleasures of the body. These are sins of the body. To the point where Apostle Paul says, he who commits fornication is sinning against his own body. There are sins of the body. And this is due to our standing with God, not for any genetic condition of the body. Did you know that the year 2011 was designated by the UN as International Year of Chemistry? And there are many issues on chemistry that are being refreshed in many publications. Most of the products we use in daily life were made possible by chemistry. So I honor the place of the discipline of chemistry. But to simply assign to chemical composition issues of sin is wrong. The Christian looks at sin not as a chemical composition, not as a genetic makeup. It is a moral standing with God. It is our condition before God because of sin. If that is something that we will refresh, I have this challenge to all of us. Reject that life that is characterized by prevailing physicality. Tanggihan natin ang buhay na masyadong nakatutok sa pangingibabaw ng katawan. I hope I have made my position abundantly clear concerning the body not being evil of itself. Physical needs are legitimate. We meet them by eating, sleeping, hygiene. Physical well-being is good stewardship. Physical pleasures have their due place within the legitimate bounds of moral standards. Being physically presentable also has its place. So there is a legitimate place to grooming and outfit, etc. But when I speak of prevailing physicality, I mean the dominant orientation of life that inclines on the body. Kung ang orientasyon ng ating buhay ay doon sa layaw ng katawan, itong hinahamon sa atin. Just think, because of the indulgence of the body, how many souls are lost? Only eternity will reveal. In contrast with virtuous widows who should be honored by the church, Apostle Paul speaks of that kind of widow in 1 Timothy 5:6. She who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. How many have opted for the bondage of physical addiction than the liberation of the gospel? I'm reading a book now with the title Addictions, and its subtitle is instructive: A Banquet in the Grave. Ganun ang addiction. Addiction to physical indulgence and pleasure. It's like a banquet, but a banquet in the grave. How apt. And this is what every addict does in lying to himself. Every addict, whether drug addict, sex addict, is enslaved to the grand lie, just one more. This is the last. And of course, it is never just one more. After 10 times and 20 times, they still say just one more. Throw away that lie that sinful physical indulgence can be stopped gradually, one at a time. Do you know why Jesus used the graphic figures of cutting off the hand, plucking out the eye? Because there is only one way to deal with sinful physical indulgence, and that is stop it radically. Stop it murderously, not gradually. So challenge any hint of prevailing physicality that you must address in your life. It will be good for your soul. I don't believe in the vocation of monks. But in one monastery, there was a notice that is quite meaningful. It says, if you need anything, just tell us and we'll teach you how to live without it. If you live by a physical necessity that is really not a necessity, we'll challenge yourself. Augustine, before he was converted, had an immoral relationship. But when he was converted, it was something that he readily cut off. To his dying day, he took care not to reveal the identity of the woman. We know their love child, Deodatus. But the woman he loved throughout his life, but he kept her identity, but he cut it off. When one day his previous companions invited him to their sinful habits, Augustine said, that Augustine died. And that's what I mean by murderously stop the indulgence. Cut it off. Pluck it out. That's what this present body is, animated by this fallen nature. But the second point, the Holy Spirit defines our risen body. This is the nature now of the resurrection body. The word spiritual, as I have explained, is used predominantly in the New Testament to mean of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has that role of applying redemption until the resurrection on the last day. And it is apt that the last blessing of salvation, which is the resurrection, is still of the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that tell us? It tells us this concerning our hope. The cherished hope of the believer of the resurrection body is its absolute sinlessness in glory. Ang inaasahan natin sa katawang bubuhaying muli ay walang-wala na itong bahid ng kasalanan. Yun ang napakasarap isipin para sa isang mananampalataya. Sinlessness is not in this life. Any teaching that suggests that it is attainable now is a lie. The Christian, however, should not take this as a license to go on sinning. Because the Holy Spirit dwells in the Christian, Apostle Paul tells us that when Christians deal with sin in Romans 8, it comes to them as groaning. Dumaraing sila. At yan ang hamunin natin sa ating sarili. Suriin natin. Meron ba akong pagdaing sa presensya ng kasalanan sa aking pagkatao? Dumaraing ba ako sa presensya ng kasalanan sa aking katawan? Kung walang pagdaing, isipin natin kung tayo may banal na espiritu, sapagkat kung nasa atin ang tananahan ng banal na espiritu, dumaraing tayo sa kasalanan. And exactly because we groan in this body of sin, we long for sinlessness. It is not now, but this is promised. And in calling the body spiritual body, it is saying that it is of the Holy Spirit. It will be marked by sinlessness when once and finally we are raised from the dead. This is what we hope for in glory. Beware of discussions of heaven or the final state in which the emphasis is material prosperity and carnal pleasure. This is not what we hope for in glory. What we hope for in glory is to be with Christ and like Him to be without sin. That's what we cherish as a hope. After referring to people in Philippians 3, whom Paul described as those whose God is their belly, Paul speaks of the resurrection hope of believers with this promised hope, Philippians 3:21, He will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body. That's what we hope for. No more sin. A body that's no longer animated by sin. Isn't that something that we should really cherish? Here we groan. Here we sin. Today, October 16, 65 years ago, 10 leading Nazis were hanged for crimes against humanity as the result of the Nuremberg trial after World War II. But did you know that when doctors examined these criminals, these guilty of crimes against humanity, they found out they were all psychologically normal. They're just like you and me. And when you look at them in absolute power, lives of people in their hands, that provoked their depravity. What if we were in their position with absolute power over the lives of men and women?
there go I, but for the grace of God. Now, the hope of final spirituality should challenge us to a present and consistent spirituality now. Let me repeat, we will never attain perfection here on this side of glory. But my challenge is work for consistency. Magkaroon ka ng spiritual na pamumuhay na matatawag na tuloy-tuloy. Bagamat hindi natin maaabot ang kasakdalan sa buhay na ito, maari tayong maging mga mananampalatayang espiritual ang paglakad ng tuloy-tuloy. Consistent. This should be animated by our hope. 1 John 3 and verse 3, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. And today, as we long for spirituality, that part of us that is the least spiritual is the body. It is, as Paul said in another place, the outward man that is perishing while the inward man is being renewed day by day. But one day it will be spiritual. But that means to be spiritual now, you have to prevail over your body's sinful passions and urges. It may be from as mundane as sleeping too much to the point of failing in responsibilities. It may be vanity that thinks too much of the external of body appearance and so concerned about physical image, which is what the media inundate us day by day. Ganito ka dapat, ganun dapat itsura mo, ganito dapat ang lahat na lang. It may be an addiction that is creating an increasing distance between you and your God. Whatever it is, a serious Christian will groan over the sins of the body and the way they hinder spirituality. One of the most profitable books I have read during my young Christianity was John Owen, the Puritan. The book was The Grace and Duty of Spiritual Mindedness. And John Owen himself is a fine example of a man who lived and walked with spirituality. Amidst his many concerns, as chaplain to Oliver Cromwell, as vice chancellor of Oxford, amidst so many concerns, he walked in a spiritual way. Add to that, 11 children dying in infancy. This was a man who knew what it was to walk spiritually. Well, brethren, this is the challenge to us. Cry to God for more grace and for more spirituality. Focus on the hope of glory when one day it will be total spirituality. At present, we struggle, we groan, we must prevail over our body sinfulness. But the challenge is there. This is what Christ has earned for us as the captain of our salvation. This is not we ourselves, but Christ has earned it for us. Then plead with God in Christ to make us more and more spiritual. Let us sing our last hymn, Great Captain of Salvation. We are reminded here of how he has gained for us victory through his death and resurrection. The third verse says, O Son of God, we thank thee. We bless thy holy name. Thy love once made thee willing to bear our sins and shame. And now thy love is waiting, thy church like thee to raise, firstborn of many brethren. Thine be all the praise. And may this be our plea for day-to-day walk of praise and spirituality, even as Christ has earned it for us. Let's close in prayer.
Nawa Panginoon ay tunay na maunawaan namin ang pangakong nakalaman sa turong ito ni Apostol Pablo na sa pagkabuhay na muli kami ay bibigyan ng espiritual na katawan. Ito ang aming katawang lupa ngayon ay puno ng kasalanan, tigib ng kasamaan at nararamdaman namin ang mga ito sa katotohanan na kami dumaraing. Father, as we contemplate on this promise of one day, a spiritual body, we admit that we are now in a state where our fallen nature still animates this present body. We ask that we may understand that depravity has included the body. Its very subjection to death is the evidence of the presence of sin. Its frailty and its vulnerability to sicknesses, weakness, aging, all are evidences of the presence of sin. But more than this, we have our own sins of the body. And grant, Lord, that we may honestly address these issues in our lives, for we must reject a life of prevailing physicality when we admit that sin and its effects animate much of our body. We must reject prevailing physicality. We ask that we may have the honesty to examine ourselves where this may be uprooting the relationship that we have before you. May we honestly uproot instead the sins of the body and grant us a cherishing of our hope in the final resurrection when finally the body is spiritual, that it will be of the Holy Spirit, totally sinless. And as we cherish that hope, it should challenge us to consistent spirituality even now. And as we seek to be consistently spiritual, we need to prevail over our body's sinful passions and urges. May we therefore address these issues in our lives and grant that we may walk in a walk that is defined by the Holy Spirit and by your word, spiritual walk that will give glory to your name until such day that we will be spiritual bodies. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.